business and professional societies also began to form, and many of them gathered in congresses and exhibitions, published their own journals and newspapers. Merchants organized professional organizations. So did factory owners, publishers, journalists. Doctors gathered together in their own organization. Legal specialists, jurists, teachers, engineers, and others. And after 1905, all of these were joined by political parties, which were now finally legal, covering the whole spectrum from moderate socialists to monarchists. Also, organizations, civic organizations, began to proliferate among the urban lower classes. Before 1905, these existed especially in the form of a variety of types of mutual aid societies, burial societies, where workers would share money to help cover the funeral of one of their members, mutual assistance funds in case one became unemployed or needy in other ways due to illness or injury at work, cultural societies of all sorts. And after 1905, these were joined by trade unions, which were legalized in 1906, and an enormous proliferation of cultural clubs where workers got together to talk, to drink tea, to read literature, to see performances, to sing, various ways they came together as a type of free public. There were also various non-governmental forms of education beginning to proliferate in these years. Private schools, private institutes, private charity schools for lower-class Russians. And all over the country began to appear what were called people's universities, places where lower-class Russians, mainly workers, artisans, and others, could go and hear lectures from often prominent scholars of their day, join reading circles, participate in amateur theatrical productions, and the like. Also relevant in terms of spaces where a diverse public could gather and feel itself to be emerging as a public were various forms of public entertainment that began to be developed by not the state but by private individuals in Russia's cities in the early part, especially of the 20th century, and even more after 1905. What were called pleasure gardens began to appear in the summer in most big cities, where there would be fairs and rides and booths and all sorts of exciting activities that one could wander about and if one had a little bit of change, afford to truly enjoy. Music halls began to appear, cabarets, mainly for the middle classes, where performances were often modeled after music halls and cabarets to be found in Western Europe. Circuses existed in every major city, and it wasn't just the normal circus performance, but also other public activities, including the most popular wrestling matches that were held on the floor of the circus. And cinemas began to proliferate in this emerging public space, especially in cities like St. Petersburg and Moscow. They were often showing Western films, silence, travelogues were very popular, newsreels, but increasingly after 1912, Russian films. Though the Westernness of these places was always important, they tended to have names, for example, to mention two of the most popular theaters in St. Petersburg, like Parisiana, which actually still exists in Petersburg, or the Crystal Palace, a sense of being part of the world through cinema. Of course, none of this existed without the typical resistance of the state. Police, especially the secret political police, watched every civic organization, and if it became political, shut it down. The press was always subject to censorship. Newspapers were subject to censorship before publication. Certain political things couldn't be said. And every thicker work, a book or a fatter journal, would be censored afterwards. If it said something illegal, it would be brought before a court and fined and perhaps shut down. And of course, none of the civic life had much influence on the policies of the state. It was vital and alive and engaging, but the state was going along making policies without much influence by public opinion. Still, with all these caveats still present, we can see in many ways a modern society, a modern urban society is emerging in Russia. Growing industry, growing industrial classes, growing cities, growing civic sphere, and an increasingly cosmopolitan culture. However, this modernity, this urban modernity, this thriving public sphere also had a very dark face, especially in urban areas. The Russian city was a place of excitement and opportunity and possibility. It was also a place filled with danger and problems. And one could see this most clearly by picking up the daily newspapers of major Russian cities in these early years before World War I.